السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. اس آیت کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ اور بات کہ
سورہ الفاتحہ حضرت خلیفۃ المسیح the fifth ایدہ اللہ تعالیٰ بن نصر العزیز recited verse 34 of Surah Hamim Sajda and then stated, the translation of this verse is as follows: and who is better in speech than he who invites men to Allah and does good works and says, I am surely of those who submit. This is a perfect example of a verse which contains all the attributes that should be the hallmark of a believer. Who can put these words into practice more than a true Muslim? If one is equipped with these three characteristics of which Allah the Exalted has spoken, a revolution can be brought about in that individual's life. It can not only bring about a revolution in one's own life, but such a person can also bring about a revolution amongst others. These three things are calling towards Allah, performing righteous deeds, and having demonstrated obedience, announcing that I am the one who acts upon or endeavors to the best of their abilities to act upon all the instructions of Allah the Exalted and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These things are such that the first of them leads a believer to acquire religious knowledge and to teach it to the world. It teaches him to tell the world as to what the rights of Allah the Exalted are and how they ought to fulfill them. It informs him to convey others as to what mutual rights among the people have been established by Allah the Exalted and how they ought to fulfill them. One can only be driven to tell others if one entertains an anguish in one's heart for others and is fully focused on freeing them from the beleaguerment and clutches of Satan. At the same time, he is anxious about increasing the servants of the gracious God. One who inculcates this characteristic or has a passion and desire for bringing people closer to Allah the Exalted, especially given the current times in which the ploys of Satan and various means of entertainment have reached their peak, only one who entertains the fear of God the Exalted and seeks His nearness can undertake such endeavors. And strive under such circumstances. The second characteristic is that God enjoins us to perform righteous deeds. In other words, pay attention to fulfilling the rights of Allah the Exalted. And in addition to this, one should set such an example that it serves as a model for others. Otherwise, your religious knowledge would be futile, and if you do not personally act upon these things, your calling towards Allah the Exalted will also be void of the blessings of Allah the Exalted and will lack good results. If that is the case, then all endeavors of calling towards Allah will be in vain and the pleasure of Allah will not be achieved. Then, the third characteristic which has been expounded is that a true believer should proclaim that I am one of those who submits fully. That is, I fully believe in the commandments of Allah the Exalted and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not only do I believe in them, but I also inculcate them into my life, and I give precedence to my faith over the world and will continue to do so. Obedience also includes the obedience to the system of the Jamaat, as well as to the Khalifa of the time. To say that I am preaching in abundance, or that I am very knowledgeable and therefore I have no need to follow the system, is not a practice that is liked by Allah the Exalted. It was the wish of God Almighty to establish a community in this day and age, and as a matter of fact, He did so. Thus, it is necessary to be attached to it. Allah the Exalted has proclaimed that even though calling towards Allah is a good deed, it is also necessary to proclaim Innani min al-Muslimin, that I am from among the believers. In other words, I proclaim to be obedient whilst observing and maintaining the highest standards of obedience. Similarly, the standards of good deeds and righteousness can also be achieved when the standards of obedience will be raised. At times, there are certain individuals who, from their appearance, seem as if they are pious and serving their faith. However, it is visible that their fate is not optimistic. Thus, Allah the Exalted says that a believer, as well as someone who utters most excellent words, will only achieve the higher standards and their actions will only be fruitful when they proclaim that they will be obedient. Or that they will show complete obedience to the system formed by Allah the Exalted. Furthermore, for us Ahmadis, these standards of absolute obedience will only be established, and our tabligh will only be successful, and our virtues will be deemed as virtuous deeds only when we demonstrate complete obedience to Khilafat after the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and when we cooperate with a system that is under the supervision of Khilafat. Our individual as well as collective efforts will only be blessed when every member of the Jamaat, every office bearer of the Jamaat, every worker and every missionary will understand the system and fulfill each other's rights. There is no doubt in the fact that Allah the Exalted has sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam according to his promise and in accordance to the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The promises with which he was sent, in other words, the tasks that he was going to complete and fulfill, will be fulfilled, inshallah. Some were fulfilled during his lifetime, whereas some were going to be fulfilled following his demise, and they are in fact being fulfilled. Furthermore, the message of Islam is also reaching the corners of the world through the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And pure-hearted people are slowly and gradually entering the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Allah the Exalted fulfills the purpose and objective with which He sends His messengers. Allah the Exalted states in the Holy Quran, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, which means, Allah has decreed, most surely I will prevail, I and my messengers. Allah the Exalted also disclosed this revelation to the promised Messiah alayhi salam several times. The promised Messiah alayhi salam was also informed by way of revelation. Elaborating on this verse, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states in one place, "This is the established practice of God, that since the day He created humans on earth, He has continued to manifest this tradition in that He helps and supports His prophets and messengers, and grants them victory, as He states, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرَسُولِي. What is meant by victory is that just as prophets and messengers wish to establish the signs of God on this earth, and that no one will be able to oppose these signs, God the Exalted also manifests His truthfulness with powerful signs. Furthermore, God plants the seeds of truthfulness which He wishes to spread in the world by their very hands. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam then states, from time immemorial, it has been the decree of God Almighty, and He has established His law, that He and His messengers shall always prevail. I am the follower of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but without bringing any new law or name. Rather, I have come in the name of that very noble Prophet, the seal of the Prophets, being completely absorbed in him, and as his second manifestation. That is why I say that since the beginning, i.e. from Adam to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, this verse always proves to be true, and in the same way, it will prove to be true in my favor in this day and age. Therefore, the plant which God Almighty wishes to sow in every corner of the world through the Prophet Messiah is the seed of the law which the Holy Prophet gave us. And its propagation was decreed to be completed in the time of the Promised Messiah. Hence, just as the Promised Messiah has said that the seed of righteousness God Almighty desires to spread in the world is sown at the hands of His messengers, and the seed for the completion of the propagation of Islam was sown at the hands of the Promised Messiah. In fact, one can see that this seed has flourished in certain parts of the world. Furthermore, the flowers of this seed planted by the Promised Messiah are spreading all over the globe through the system of Khilafat. So this seed which God Almighty sowed at the hands of the Promised Messiah is growing and spreading in other countries too. As agriculturalists will know how a plant nursery is arranged, it is a custom here too to have plant nurseries, and these plants are then taken to their appointed place. Similarly, the nursery of the Promised Messiah are the explanations of the meanings and the wonders of the Holy Quran. And the manner in which he clearly explained to us the message of Islam in light of the Holy Quran. This is being propagated to every corner of the globe, and the world is being attracted to this beautiful teachings of Islam. Hence, there is no doubt that the beautiful message of Islam is to spread by the means of the Promised Messiah, and indeed is doing so. With reference to this, God Almighty gave the Promised Messiah glad tidings through numerous revelations, one of which was كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي, which has been mentioned previously. Besides this, there are many revelations, some of which I shall present. God Almighty revealed يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي دِينِ, i.e. God will aid you in your service to His religion. In other words, the work which you are propagating is the religion of Allah, i.e. Islam. Then there is the revelation, يَنْصُرُكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ إِنْدِي, i.e. God will grant you help from Himself. Then there is a revelation which is widely known. But before this, I will mention another one. The revelation is, I will grant you eminence around the world. The honor of the Promised Messiah will be established, and it shall be due to spreading the teachings of Islam and from God Almighty Himself. Then, the revelation which I spoke of earlier was that I shall cause thy message to reach the corners of the earth, which everyone is aware of. Therefore, there is absolutely no doubt that His message shall reach the whole world. And the world will come to know of him as the true champion and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and the world is doing so. We now see that through MTA, God Almighty is Himself conveying this message to the whole world. I have previously mentioned on many occasions that with our worldly resources, it was never possible, or at least at that point in time, it was not possible for us to run a TV channel 24 hours a day, presenting programs in different languages of the world, for these programs to be reaching every part of the world, and for the translations of my sermons to be reaching every part of the earth. Six or seven translations are running in parallel with my live sermons. This is all as a result of those promises made by God Almighty to the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Then, through these, i.e. my sermons and the different programs on MTA, pious-natured people are entering into the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Many people write to me how different programs of MTA, my sermons or other programs, have had a profound impact on them, and how they became interested and how God Almighty enabled them to accept Ahmadiyyat. Two or three days ago, a program from Guadeloupe was being broadcast on MTA, in which there was a missionary. A new convert from there says, "I was introduced to Ahmadiyyat, but did not take the oath of allegiance. But when I listened to the sermons, I felt the urge to take the bet and became convinced." So this is the work and promises of God Almighty, which shall continue to be fulfilled, inshallah, God willing. This is not down to any of our efforts. Rather, God Almighty has stated that the best quality of a believer is that he calls others towards God Almighty. Hence, God Almighty desires for us to partake in this work, which He is actually doing so Himself and has already decided to do. Thus, He wishes for us to partake of the blessings. Therefore, each and every Ahmadi must give importance to this, that we should be part of the task which Allah the Almighty has taken upon Himself. To partake of His blessings and to be among those who attain His pleasure. Therefore, all of you who live here in Spain should take time out and dedicate at least 2 days of the month to Tabligh. Find different ways of spreading the message to the people here according to their temperament. There is a Spanish Ahmadi convert who came to meet me a few days ago, last week, or rather it was this week. He mentioned that the Jamaat is not conveying the message of Islam in this country the way it should be. In fact, he believes that even the missionaries, except one or two, despite understanding the nature of the people here, are not propagating the message adequately, or they do not know how to do so. He said that although Spain is part of Europe, but the attitude of the Spanish people is somewhat different to the rest of Europe. As a result of the state of affairs nowadays, the people here are afraid of Islam and Muslims. There is an effect of Europe on us. But on the other hand, seeing as the Muslims remained in certain regions of Spain for a long period of time, we have a deep-rooted attachment for Muslims, which needs to be rekindled. In particular, certain areas of Andalusia. Therefore, where our central Tabligh secretary the Tabligh secretaries of each Jamaat and other office bearers should be devising plans according to the circumstances. At the same time, it is also the duty of every Ahmadi to give time to this, whether they are part of Khuddam, Lajna or Ansar. Here in Spain, 700-800 years ago, Muslims were forced to convert to Christianity by the sword. However, we are to win the hearts with love, affection, and with the beautiful teachings of Islam. Awareness of the Jamaat and Islam is increasing on a wider scale. TV channels and newspapers are giving coverage about the Jamaat, and this is one way in which we are conveying the message. The editor of a newspaper in Cordoba, or even the owner himself, came to meet me. He showed me his newspaper and how he is writing about the community, and he has devoted a whole page to the Jamaat. Our peace symposium was held in London, and the representatives of this newspaper and TV channel also attended. The representatives of the TV channel also conducted an interview with me, then returned here to make a program about our Jamaat and how it presents the peaceful teachings of Islam. In that program, they also aired a portion of my interview. So the situation in Spain today is not like that of 35 or 40 years ago. Today, if there is any shortcoming in the propagation of the message, then it is on our part. Also, in several cities, there are Moroccans and other Arabs who have settled here. Arab-speaking people should be utilized to convey the message to them, and they should be given literature in Arabic. When it comes to distributing Spanish literature based on introducing Islam and Ahmadiyyad, for the last few years, I have been sending Shahid graduates from Jamia UK and Germany before they enter the field of work to distribute literature in the cities. In my opinion, approximately 3 million pieces of literature have been distributed. The general consensus of the new graduates of Jamia about the people of Spain is that when they hand out the literature to the people here, they are usually greeted in a respectable manner. Furthermore, there are more who read the literature and fewer who throw it away. It has been noticed that by and large the people read it and put it in their pockets. Apart from this, there is a Spanish lady who converted to Ahmadiyyad and lives in London. She is the wife of the new Ahmadi secretary there. Her family is here in Spain, i.e. her parents. She visits different schools, universities and colleges here and conveys the message. She searches for opportunities to come from London and introduce the Jamaat here and spread the message of Islam. So why is it that the residents and missionaries here are not able to find such opportunities? Hence, the Ahmadi residents, office bearers and missionaries here must make a resolute and concrete plan. I said the same thing to the newly converted Spanish gentleman whom I have already mentioned, that he should send me in writing whatever he feels is the best way to do the Tabligh. When he sends me his suggestions, I shall send it here too, and if you are able to understand and implement it, then you should act accordingly. But the main point is that there should be cooperation amongst yourselves. And putting aside all personal egos, we should give precedence to benefiting the Jamaat. We need to understand that by becoming Ahmadis, we must fulfill our obligations with a special passion and desire. The target is not just for new missionaries to come for a month every year to distribute literature. The reason why I began sending them here is so that it may aid you, as the members here are low in number. The second reason was so that a passion and desire to do tabligh may be born in your hearts, or at the very least for the obstacle of not knowing the language properly to be removed, and for everyone to take part in conveying the message. The new graduates who come here do not know the language, but they still go all around and fulfill their duty. Hence, there is a need for us to understand and fulfill that the duty to call to God assigned by God Almighty to a true believer. We must participate in this with great eagerness and enthusiasm, and the duty is first and foremost for the missionaries. First of all, you must find different methods in doing tabligh, inform the members of the community, and to move forward with them. The National Tabligh Secretary expresses his keen desire with regards to doing tabligh. He did not say to me openly, but it seems that there is always an issue with the budget and with the cooperation of the members of the community. Hence, it is also the duty of the Amir Jamaat, i.e. National President, that if there is an issue with the budget, then it should be resolved. He should write to me, because the Markaz have covered expenses in the past as well. It is also the responsibility of the Secretary of Tabligh, missionaries and members of the Jamaat to fully cooperate with the Amir Jamaat. This is the way by which we can establish the lost grandeur of Islam once again. This was the objective of the Promised Messiah's advent. The Promised Messiah, Islam, has outlined the current times and the condition of Islam. He has shared his heartfelt pain and informed everyone that now God Almighty desires to establish the splendor and glory of Islam once again. The eminence of Islam is made evident to the world once more, and God Almighty wishes to destroy the plans of the enemies of Islam. And this will happen soon. And it is for this reason that God Almighty has sent the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in order to establish the community, and is showing everyone the magnificence of this community. In one place, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, "How blessed is this era! God Almighty, out of His sheer grace, has desired to provide support for Islam during such turbulent times in order to demonstrate the greatness of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And thus, through support from the unseen and owing to His grace, He established this movement." I would ask those who have a soft corner for Islam and have some respect and regard for it in their hearts to tell me when Islam has experienced such abuse and the Holy Prophet ﷺ and the Holy Quran have been insulted to this extent. I am also extremely saddened and experience heartfelt anguish at the condition of the Muslims. Sometimes I become restless due to the pain that they do not have the slightest sense to feel this humiliation? Did God Almighty have any regard for the honor of the Holy Prophet ﷺ to establish a heavenly movement and silence the enemies of Islam by spreading the grandeur and purity of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in the world? When God Almighty and His angels send salutations on the Holy Prophet ﷺ, then how integral is it to do so at this time when he is being insulted the most? God has manifested the Holy Prophet ﷺ through the establishment of this community, i.e. the Ahmadiyya Jamaat. The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, God has sent me to establish the lost grandeur of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and to demonstrate the truths of the Holy Quran to the world. All of this work is taking place, but those whose eyes are covered cannot see. This movement is shining bright like the sun, and there are so many people who are witnesses to its signs. If they are all gathered in one place, their numbers will be more than that of any army of the worldly kings. There are so many signs for the truthfulness of this movement that it is difficult to even mention all of them. Since Islam was severely dishonored, therefore God Almighty demonstrated the greatness of Islam just as emphatically. We are all witnesses to the fact that God Almighty continues to demonstrate this greatness today. A lot of attention of the media and other people has been directed towards this, and this is being expressed openly in some countries worldwide. Therefore, this is a testimony to the words of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. And despite our weaknesses, one should take part in this, as it is God Almighty Himself who is doing this work. So take part in this work and fully immerse yourself in it. In another place, while stating that if one desires to increase their age, they should do tabligh, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, not everyone is fully acquainted with their objective and role. Some limit themselves to simply eating and drinking like cattle. They are not concerned about anything else apart from how much meat they should eat and the clothes they are to wear. When such people are punished, then they perish in an instant. The Promised Messiah ﷺ states, however, those who occupy themselves in serving the faith, they are treated with leniency until they do not complete the task or service they are rendering. The Promised Messiah ﷺ further continues, if one wishes to live a long life and extend their age, then as much as he possibly can, he should sincerely dedicate his life for the service of faith. Remember, God Almighty cannot be deceived by any means. The one who attempts to deceive God should understand that he deceives none but himself alone, and eventually he will perish in this pursuit. The Promised Messiah ﷺ continues, let it be known that there is no better way to increase one's age in that one should sincerely and devoutly occupy himself in spreading the word of God and serve the faith. This method indeed is most effective in this age, since the faith is in need of such sincere servants. However, if one fails to do this, then no one can be responsible for one's age, and it will continue to just pass by. Whilst drawing attention towards tabligh, the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave some advice to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, which also serves as a beautiful piece of advice for us all. On one occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, I swear by God that if one single person was to attain guidance through you, that would be better than if you had attained red camels. In those days, red camels were considered to be extremely valuable. A person who possessed red camels was considered to be rich and affluent. Thus, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that the wealth and fortunes of this world are of no value as compared to if one did tabligh, and he became the means through which one attained guidance. Therefore, those who have come here should no doubt endeavor to earn worldly wealth, but you should also devote some of your time towards tabligh. Though I have said that you should give 1 or 2 days, but in fact, you should give more than this. In this way, you will be able to acquire the worldly wealth, and God Almighty will also be pleased with you. As I mentioned earlier, by doing tabligh, you will also increase your religious knowledge. Also, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has stated that one who invites one towards a good deed and to guidance, he will attain the equal in reward to that who follows and carries out the good deed, and nothing will be taken away from his reward. Therefore, this is an elaboration of the verse which I recited at the beginning, that who is better in speech than he who invites men to God Almighty? The one inviting towards God shall also earn the reward, the reward for performing that good deed, and he shall also earn the reward of the one who has received the guidance about that good deed. One who invites men to God shall attain the worldly rewards, blessings in one's longevity of age, and also the reward for performing the good deed. Thus, in order to become the recipient of God Almighty's rewards, it is essential to devote time towards the tabligh and affording the world with guidance. Furthermore, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, reminding us of the importance of serving Islam, states, "Time is very limited. I admonish you again and again that no young person should be in a false sense of security by considering himself to be only 18 or 19, and that there is plenty of time left. One should not pride himself on account of his good health. Similarly, one who enjoins good health should not trust this opulent state. We are passing through a time in which revolutionary changes are occurring, the era of the latter days." The Promised Messiah further states, "God Almighty desires to distinguish between the truthful and the disbelievers. This is the time to demonstrate sincerity and loyalty, and one last opportunity has been given for this. This time shall not come again. This is the time where all the prophecies of the earlier prophets reach their finale. Therefore, this is the last opportunity granted to mankind to show one's sincerity and to render service to faith. Thereafter, one will not have an opportunity, and most unfortunate is the one who fails to avail from this opportunity." The Promised Messiah Islam further states, "Simply making a verbal proclamation to have done the bayat is of no value. Rather, one should make an effort and supplicate to God Almighty so that He may make you among the truthful. Therefore, do not show indolence or slothfulness. Rather, become active and try to adhere to the teachings which I have presented to you and tread on the path which I have shown you." As I mentioned in the previous Friday sermon in relation to the book Noah's Ark, that each and every Ahmadi should read the section Our Teachings. In fact, the Promised Messiah ﷺ stated that we should read the entire book. The instructions contained in the section of our book, Our Teachings, will serve as a guide in the opportunities that we will have when inviting people towards God and performing good deeds. The teachings contained within it is one that can enable us to become excellent believers. Directing our attention towards righteous deeds, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, "We observe that even though people proclaim the Islamic creed of there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and they also testify to the truthfulness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observe the prayers and keep the fasts, however, they are completely devoid of spirituality. Moreover, the fact that their actions are completely contrary to righteous deeds, Therefore, that in itself proves that they are not performed in a righteous manner. Their actions are against the injunctions of God Almighty. This proves that the actions of the Muslims are not righteous. In fact, the Promised Messiah states, even their pious deeds are done in a customary and ceremonial fashion, because they are devoid of any kind of sincerity and spirituality. Otherwise, why is it that the blessings and spiritual light that accompanies such righteous deeds is not visible? Remember, until these actions are not performed with true sincerity of the heart and spirituality, they are of no benefit and avail. Righteous deeds can only be counted as righteous when they are pure from all kinds of disorder. The antonym of virtue is disorder, and one who is virtuous is free from all forms of disorder. Those whose prayers are filled with disorder and their personal interests are deeply hidden in them, their prayers are certainly not for God Almighty and do not rise from the earth even the slightest, because they are devoid from the spirit of sincerity and have no spirituality within them. What is the true reality of righteous actions? In relation to this, the Promised Messiah states, remember, God Almighty looks towards one's heart and spirituality. He does not look towards one's deeds, and instead looks towards one's inner state in order to gauge whether in the depths of their deeds there is a hint of egotism or selfishness, or is there true obedience to God Almighty and sincerity. However, on some occasions, man can be deceived by physical actions. For example, if a person has a tasbih, i.e. a prayer bead, in his hand, and offers his tahajjud and ishraq prayers, he is considered to be pious by others. Seemingly, he is carrying out virtuous deeds, and as a result, people consider him to be pious. Usually, if someone has a tasbih in his hand, he is considered to be pious. However, God Almighty does not like boast, apparent actions. This is considered to be boast and a shell, which is not liked by God Almighty, nor is He pleased by it until one displays loyalty and truthfulness. Apparent charm is an exterior state, which is equivalent to a hollow shell, and is not liked by God Almighty, nor can one attain His pleasure. The Promised Messiah states, until there is loyalty and truthfulness. An unfaithful person is similar to a dog who falls prey to this material world. From the outside, he may appear to be righteous, but in fact, he carries out many immoral acts. He is involved in evil acts and has hidden sinful traits. What good are those prayers which are filled with pretentiousness, and what benefit will they provide? Thus, deeds that are filled with pretentiousness can be of no benefit to man. Those deeds which are not carried out with the fear of God and His pleasure in mind will not be worthy of reward. Even the outcome of those who call others towards the path of God and have similar actions is not fruitful, irrespective of how much effort they exert. Thus, just as the Promised Messiah has stated, we need to pay attention towards this. Whilst mentioning that one should perform Amal-e-Saliha constantly, the Promised Messiah states, those people who wish to preserve their faith should look to excel in performing virtuous deeds. These are spiritual matters which have a profound effect upon one's beliefs. One's actions have a great effect on one's faith. If one wishes to be firm in their faith, then virtuous deeds are a vital component. Ponder over those people who choose to live a life of sin, and you will arrive at the conclusion that they have no belief in God. For this reason, it is mentioned in the hadith that when a thief steals something, he is not a believer, and when an adulterer commits adultery, he is not a believer. The meaning of this is that one's immoral actions have influenced his pristine belief and rendered it futile. The members of our Jamaat should strive to perform virtuous deeds in abundance. If their condition is that of other people, then what is a distinguishing factor? What would be the purpose of God Almighty's protection and guardianship? God Almighty will only provide shelter when you please Him through righteousness, purity, and true obedience. Remember that He has no special relation with anyone, i.e., God Almighty has no family relations. Mere boastfulness and vain dialogue can be of no avail. Idle discourses and making claims are meaningless until one shows loyalty. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further says, true obedience is akin to death. Whosoever does not adhere to this risks playing a game of chess with God Almighty, in that when he is in need, he is content with God, but when he does not need God, he becomes angry with Him. This should not be the conduct of a believer. Ponder over the fact that if God Almighty grants success at every level to the extent where one does not see any failure, then would everyone not become a believer in the one true God? Would they not believe in the one God? What other trait would remain? Therefore, in times of trial, if one displays loyalty and truthfulness, then God Almighty will be pleased. Thus, actions can only be deemed as virtuous deeds if one shows complete obedience, and with this in mind they perform their actions, and also they carry them out to attain the pleasure of God. When one completely breaks down all the walls of personal desires, and in every action of his, he has one goal, which is to give precedence to the will of God and obey all His commands, in such a case, this will be labeled as true obedience. It should not be the case that when there is a personal gain, one shows obedience. But then, when it is something adverse to one's own desires, one makes complaints. Always remember that making unnecessary complaints to the administration of the Jamaat inadvertently leads one away from the Jamaat. Then it also leads one away from faith, Khilafat, and even God Almighty. We have seen the fate of such people in the past. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says, the weapons that will lead us to victory are istighfar, tawbah, increasing in religious knowledge, understanding the grandeur of God Almighty, and offering the 5 daily prayers. Worship is the key to the acceptance of prayer. When you offer worship, ensure that you pray, and do not show negligence in this matter. Abstain wholly from every vice, regardless of the fact that it is connected with fulfilling the rights of God or fulfilling the rights of His creation. May Allah the Almighty enable us to propagate the message of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, and make us a part of His victory. May He enable us to disseminate His message and make us a part of His dominance. Whilst offering tawbah and istighfar and also praying, may we fulfill our responsibility of spreading the message. May we fulfill the due rights of God Almighty and His creation. It is the fulfillment of these rights that enables one to carry out virtuous deeds. May we keep the pleasure of God in mind in all of our actions and become completely obedient to God Almighty. When we keep these matters in mind, then God willing, we will be able to see the victory of Islam in accordance with the promises of God Almighty. May Allah enable us to do so.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله يَحْفَظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَادْعُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ